Well, thanks for joining us here on another episode of Cranford Radio. My name is Bernie Wagenblast. My guest today is Stephanie Lawler, perhaps better known to Cranfordians as Stephanie the Artist Framer. Stephanie, welcome to Cranford Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Bernie.
Obviously, as I just said in the introduction, you are Stephanie the Artist Framer. Folks probably remember your store for many years at the corner of North Avenue East and Alden Street. You are in a new location for a little over a year now in the old Reckermeyer's Florist building, still on North Avenue West now. Tell me just a little bit about the business. As I was thinking about the name of your business, the Artist Framer really describes the two main things that you do. You're an artist and you're a framer.
Yes, those are both of my passions. I started picture framing when I was 15 years old, and I've been an artist as long as I can remember. I went to school for art. I have my MFA in painting and figurative art, and I studied art history. But all along, I was picture framing, and I'm kind of torn between the two, but in this new location, I found that I've given them even time. I'm painting as much as I'm framing.
Now, you mentioned you've been an artist for as long as you remember. Go back to some of those early days. For somebody like me who has zero artistic ability, it was finger painting and crayons and things like that, and that's pretty much where I stopped. Tell me about how you discovered that art was a passion for you and a talent.
Honestly, I think it was fifth grade with Mrs. Cantor. She was my art teacher, and she was so supportive, and she encouraged me to express myself through art and to be creative and to be unafraid to make things with all kinds of medium.
And these days, I guess you're best known, at least in terms of your artistic side, as an oil painter. Is that correct?
Yes. Now, as I got older, I focused on realist art, and I like to paint still life. I like to paint people, and I love to paint landscapes, and oils seem to lend themselves the best to that for me.
What are some of the challenges of painting with oils? Because obviously every type of art requires different tools, requires different skills and things of that sort. What's attractive to you about oil painting?
Well, I think I'm attracted mostly because it's not as challenging as some other mediums. It's very forgiving. Unlike watercolor, you have to commit. In oil painting, I can lay it down, scrape it back out. I can sand it down after it's dry. It can be cropped. You can take a canvas and make it a smaller size. You can add canvas and make it a bigger size. So I like its versatility and its forgiveness.
You talked about liking to do landscapes. I know some of the things I saw recently on Facebook, you were in New York City, spending some time near the East River, the Brooklyn Bridge, the skyline, things like that.
I have a friend, a wonderful, well-known artist named Garen Baker, and I met him in Cranford at one of the paint-out events years ago. And Garen teaches a New York City nocturne workshop through the Art Students League. And if my schedule permits, I always sign up to spend time with Garen and to paint the beautiful city lights. I'm very lucky these last 5 weeks we had great weather.
Yes, that is fortunate, yes. Especially when you consider some of the things that have happened recently. With the store, like I say, the Artist Framer, we talked a little bit about the art part, but let's talk about the framing part. Tell me a little bit more about that side of the business.
I love the framing. I love to design framing with the customers that come in. I love that every piece that walks the door is different. So every day is different, and we treat each piece differently. So it's very creative. And then I'm working with my hands. I'm cutting the frames, building the frames. We have a computerized mat cutter now, so I get a little help there, which is nice. But then assembling the pieces. But my favorite part is showing the work when it's complete, because I have an idea of what it'll look like from the samples at the beginning. But even in the end, I'm so delighted to see it come together, and to see the customer with the surprise of a finished product is always, it's just so special. It's a joy. Yeah.
Now, you said you've been framing since you were 15 years old. Mm-hmm. You've had the business for nearly 25 years. Tell me about how things have changed over that quarter century or so.
Oh, that's a good question. I just mentioned the computerized mat cutter. That was the biggest change. So we cut mats by hand up until 2005. And then I found, and I had two big, you know, those big Fletcher mat cutters. I had two of them, and there was somebody on my staff always cutting mats on both of those machines. So when we got the computerized mat cutter, what would have taken us maybe an hour or more, we could do in probably 10 minutes or less. Probably less. We also have the point of sale software, so that made things easier once we became computerized. We computerized in 2002. And then, of course, with COVID, we really learned what we could do with virtual framing. So we stayed busy, believe it or not, through COVID using virtual framing. People would send me a picture online, or they would pull up front and I would open their trunk with a mask on and pull out the art and then email them maybe three different price points, three different designs, and then I would frame it with the materials I had in stock.
With the artwork that you've seen since you've been framing, how has that changed? Do people's tastes seem to change over the decades?
You know, it's funny. I think everything's gotten bigger. People have these big spaces in their houses. We went to Open Concept, and there aren't as many walls with Open Concept, but the walls are big. So a lot of large canvases. I think that's the change. But the one thing that has stayed consistent is oftentimes I'm framing pieces that are dear to people, whether it's a handwritten note with a photograph maybe, or a lot of people have memorabilia that's sports memorabilia that's dear to them. So maybe a jersey or a christening gown. So that has remained consistent. But I do believe the size of the art's getting bigger.
Now, you talked a little bit about technology. I'm curious what your take is on artificial intelligence and artificial intelligence creating paintings and pictures and things of that sort.
Oh, that's terrific. It's amazing, isn't it? And it's exciting. I love the technology and how it pertains to our business and the creative world. We do a lot of photo restoration here, and we use Photoshop. And I don't know if you've tried it yet, but the AI in Photoshop, the new AI, is phenomenal. It'll do fill in a background with a suggestion of a seascape or a city street. So it's really, we enjoy it that way. But that's as far as I've taken the AI, but I'm excited to see where it will go. It's amazing.
Switching back to your work as an artist, your art as an artist, what is it that you enjoy about creating art? Does it give you peace? Are there other emotions that you feel as you're creating?
I love the problem-solving aspect. I like that setting up, whether it's a portrait or it's a landscape, it's a puzzle. And when you start to move those pieces around and they fall into their place, it's very pleasing. I also love meeting people. So since I was young, I've asked people to sit for me, and I've gotten to know them that way. And I've made special friendships through creating a portrait.
Asking this as a total amateur, I think of somebody like Bob Ross, who kind of popularized in some ways painting on television. And he made it look so darn easy, like anybody could do this. When you see something like that, what do you think?
I love Bob Ross. Did you see something just sold of his for like, yeah, quite a bit of money? And I say, I would love to own a Bob Ross. I can see somebody spending that much money. But yes, his work was rather formulaic, where he would do the same thing over and over, really, especially with his happy trees. But I loved him, and I love that he inspired people who thought they could never draw or paint to pick up a brush and make a picture. And his formula allowed anybody to be able to make something that they were happy with. So kudos to Bob Ross.
Another significant part about you, about your business, are the things that you do in the community. For example, you have the community paint out, the slice of life. Tell me a little bit about some of those community activities that you're involved with, if you would, please.
Well, I love Cranford, and I love being a part of the community. And there are so many artists in our area, people that are non-professionals, people that are professionals, people that just want to get their feet wet as artists. So we have our art shows during the year. We have Slice of Life that we love, and we've done a Fabulous Fakes, and we've done a self-portrait. And then, of course, my favorite's the community paint out, where anybody is invited to come and paint or draw any medium around Cranford for a day on a Sunday and meet at the Hanson Park to show their work and kind of celebrate each other. So that's one of my favorites because I get to see old friends and make new friends at that event.
One of the things that's the same about your old place on North Avenue East in Alden Street and this location here on North Avenue West is the color purple. Tell me, what's the significance to you of purple?
Purple has been my favorite color for as long as I can remember, starting with a jumpsuit of bell bottoms back in the 70s. So I love the color, and I also find that it's a color that people remember. So they know to look for the purple building, recommend the purple building, and it's an easy one to find.
Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for taking the time. We've been talking with Stephanie Lawler, the artist framer. Stephanie, again, thanks so much for being my guest here on Cranford Radio.
Thank you for having me, Bernie. It was a pleasure.